you get straight, and you get your eyes and your focus back on your goal. See, you know, the problem is that you got to taste it. You got to taste it. I've asked, you know, people. I put in the bulletin today, this sheet. I want that mountain. Now, notice you don't have to put your name on it, but I wrote down two things here that I want for God, that I want for God. And you know what, my brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. I can taste it. I can taste it. And you got to get the taste in your mouth. Because if you get the taste in your mouth, then you'll keep track of the goal and you'll keep sight of the goal that God has.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of I Want This Mountain, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I Want This Mountain, Part 2.
Then I can tell you what type of individual you are. See, every day, your calendar and your checkbook should show that you are moving in a direction that lines up with the goals of your life. It's just like a church. The church should have a vision, and the church should have a mission, and the budget of the church should line up with the mission and goals of the church. Show me those two things, your calendar and your checkbook, and I'll tell you in what direction that you're moving. Oh, this is some hard preaching. It's tight, but it's right. And you know, I can even show you something else. And I know I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. Like I said, Caleb caught it. The other 10, you know, they saw it, but Caleb caught it. And I've been saying something that hopefully some of you are going to catch at some point. I think you hear me, but you haven't caught it. And that is, and this might reflect right in your calendar too, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Number four, let me move on. Caleb sacrificed ease for opportunity. He sacrificed ease for opportunity. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Amen. I wish I had that testimony, that my strength was as, you know, and I'm only years old, and you know, this brother was 85, and he said he was just as strong as he was, you know, when he entered into the promised land the first time. You know, I was talking to a brother this morning. We was talking about lifting weights. And we said, you know, there's certain exercises that we had to cut loose, you know. I mean, you know, back in the glory days, what did you do? You know, you would get the bar, and you would do squats, right? All right? Because you wanted calves, and you wanted quads, all right? You wanted to be ripped, right? Now, man, you know, you're trying to conserve your joints. it ain't even about the cut anymore. It's about just staying healthy, being able to walk up some steps, right? that's what it's about now. You know, like I told y'all, man, go ahead right now. Let me give you work. Take some, if you got it, take pictures, so you can show folk. Say, look, this used to be me right here. Caleb, he said, I'm just as strong as I was then. And you know, at a time when he could have sat back and let the young folk take over, at a time when he could have said, you know, I've given my time, it's time for me to lay back, He says, I want that mountain. And under this point here, I put this. At 85 years of age, he could have entered into the promised land, basically, and inherited whatever he wanted. He could have just said whatever he wanted to have, and they would have gave it to him, pretty much so. However, he chose to take the opportunity to go fight for the land God promised to him. Sometimes it's easier to get involved in amusement activities, such as watching television or playing video games, and miss the opportunity to move a step closer to accomplishing your goals. Sometimes you've got to sacrifice ease for opportunity. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing games and watching TV. That's all fine. But, you know, sometimes I believe that we come to a crisis point in which we have to make a decision. Is it more expedient for me to sit here and entertain myself and amuse myself, or is it more expedient for me to take the opportunity to move a little bit closer to my goal? And the reason that some people don't move closer to their goals is because they take the path of least resistance. It's very easy to sit down and just allow things to happen around you. But it's another thing to take the bull by the horns and move in a direction that God would have you to move in. You know, we have to see the moments in our lives as opportunities, that each day we are confronted with tens of 20s of 30s of opportunities that flash before us. And each opportunity gives us a way to move closer to our goal. And then we might as well just be honest with ourselves, because when that opportunity comes up, and if we more often than not decide to sit back and not do anything about it, basically what we are saying is that I'm letting this opportunity go by because, you know, I feel that, you know, at this point it's more important for me to be amused. It's more important for me to be entertained. It's me. And you know what the word amusement means? It comes from two words. Am, which means no, and muse, which means to think or to meditate. So what does amusement mean? It means no thinking or no meditation. And that's basically what happens a lot of times when we begin to do that. And so, you know, I have to wake up in the morning and I have to ask myself the question, you know, am I willing to give up some easy things in my day to accomplish the goal that God has called me to accomplish? You know, sometimes it may mean at night you push yourself just a little bit more to do something a little bit different. Y'all heard somebody say years ago, and I try to adopt this as a philosophy. I can't say that I've been consistent at it, but I've tried to adopt it. And they said, at the end of the day, when you think you can't do one more thing, somebody finish that for me. There you go. Somebody caught it. Oh, praise God. Somebody caught that right there. At the end of the day, when you think you can't do one more thing, do one more thing. Amen. Amen. Don't give in to the ease and the flow, but be somebody. You know what does it say about Caleb? Turn back to Numbers chapter. Oh, this is good right here. This is good. I didn't even have this in my notes. This is good. The Lord just gave this to me right now. Look at this. Numbers 14:24. This is God talking. 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, I will bring him unto the land he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now notice two words in there. He had another spirit. What does that mean? The spirit of everybody else was going in a direction that was not leading to the accomplishment of God's goals. So you got 10 guys, and they're all moving toward the direction of nothingness. You got 10 people, and they're all moving to the land of do nothing. You got 10 people, and they're all moving to the land of doubt and complaining. And that's the spirit that's in them. But praise God, you got two that have another spirit. Not that spirit, but another spirit. And my question to you today is, do you have another spirit in you? Or do you have the spirit of the world? Do you have the spirit of the crowd? Oh, whoo. Do you have the spirit of the crowd? Do you have the spirit of the masses? Or do you have another spirit in you? A spirit that's going to take you in another direction. A spirit that's going to take you to do something positive. A spirit that's going to take you to accomplish your God-ordained goals. What spirit do you have in you? Caleb had another spirit within him. Number five, Caleb never lost sight of the goal. He never lost sight of the goal. I told you last week, the first one in my family graduating from college, being a brother growing up in the hood, that college was something that I didn't think was realistic. And then when I finally got to college and realized that I can do this thing and saw all the struggles and all the studying and stuff that I had to do to get to graduate, the one thing that motivated me, the one thing that motivated me was that I saw myself walking across that stage on graduation day getting my diploma. And that motivated me through that whole process to keep on studying, to keep on writing term papers, to keep on going to class, because I knew I was going to be the first one in my family to graduate from college, and I knew that I had to keep my focus on why I was there. You know, sad to say, you know, I got sidetracked a couple times and got focused on different things, but thank God for the Looney Tunes slap, right? God gives you that Looney Tunes slap, right? And you get straight, and you get your eyes and your focus back on your goal. See, you know, the problem is that you got to taste it. You got to taste it. I've asked, you know, people. I put in the bulletin today, this sheet. I want that mountain. Now, notice you don't have to put your name on it, but I wrote down two things here. That I want for God, that I want for God. And you know what, my brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. I can taste it. I can taste it. And you got to get the taste in your mouth. Because if you get the taste in your mouth, then you'll keep track of the goal and you'll keep sight of the goal that God has for you. See, you don't have a taste in your mouth, if you don't have your taste in your mouth for something, then you will fulfill your appetites and desires on anything. Man, what's in your spirit? What taste is in your mouth? Caleb never lost sight of the goals that he had. He said in Joshua chapter 14, at the end of the verse, Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, at the end of the verse, all this time, look what was in his heart. Look what was in his spirit. These giants that are in there, and they got my stuff. They got my stuff. And they need to get out. And he said at the end of verse 12, and the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out. They got my stuff. Look, you need to tell them. Somebody, look, man, you got my stuff, and you're going to let it go. You know, that's mine. Now, I'm not talking about covetousness or greediness. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about that goal that God has put on your heart. That's your stuff. And you have to keep in mind and have a taste in your mouth as to what it is that you're supposed to be about and what it is that you're supposed to do. Number six, Caleb never lost sight of his God. He never lost sight of his God. See, if you are going to do something, then you need to have the power of God to help you be able to do what it is that God has called you to do. I like Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary who was in China, and on one occasion, him and his wife had got down to nothing. And I like what Hudson Taylor said. Hudson Taylor said, all we have is 25 cents and all the promises of God. Amen. No matter what it that it's going to take to accomplish your goal. You may not have the resources. You may not have the people. You may not have the education. You may not have whatever it is society says that you need. But if God told you to do it, if you got 25 cents, all of us got 25 cents. If you got 25 cents and all the promises of God, you can do whatever it is that you need to do. Amen. He never lost sight of his God. He said, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord told me, and the Lord said he was going to give it to me. And you know what? I would be a wise person that if I'm going to accomplish the goal that God has given me to accomplish, that I keep my eyes on him, that I stay focused on him. Because if I stay focused on him, he's going to give me the power, he's going to give me the strength to be able to come and accomplish the goals that God has given me. In the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, Spain, there was a 440-meter runner. His name was Derek Redmond, and he was one of the favorites in the 440, and he began to run, and in the midst of him running, he pulled a muscle. And the muscle was pulled so bad that people didn't think that he would be able to finish the race. But he struggled with everything that was within him to finish running this race. And the more he struggled, the more people saw that he probably wasn't going to make it, but they cheered even harder to try to get him to make it to the finish line. Well, in the midst of all this cheering, a man came out of the stands, came down beside him, locked arms, and they ran together across the finish line. That man was his father. And his father saw that he was struggling to accomplish the goal that he gave him. And the father came down and helped him to accomplish the goal. It's good to know that when we set out for goals in our life, that we might struggle along the way, that we might have difficulties along the way, we might pull a muscle, and it looks like we're not going to make it to the end, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they jump in the race, and they come on down, and they help us to get across the finish line. So you can't do this thing by yourself. You need God to help you. There are giants in the land. The cities are walled. You can't take them in the flesh. You need God's help. And if you will just enlist God to help you in whatever it is that he has called you to do, that you will be able to do it. And then finally, we see that Caleb acknowledged the fact that there were going to be obstacles. He didn't minimize the walled cities and the giants. He realized that they were formidable foes. Even at the end, look what he says, even at the end, in chapter 14, he says in verse 12, "And now forgive me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified, so the Lord will be with me." And if you go on to read, he not only says that they were there, but in verse 15, you know what it says? They were still there. They hadn't gone anywhere. And they, you know, just think about, you know, they let their obstacles and fears intimidate them 45 years earlier, and 45 years later, nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. The giants are still there. The cities are still walled. You know, I like what Gail said this morning, you know, that her circumstances didn't change. Remember that? Amen. Her circumstances didn't change. You know, they were still the same. But what changed? Her attitude. Her attitude. And so sometimes we need to realize that the obstacle's not going to go anywhere. They're still going to be there. But if you are going to accomplish your dreams, that you must persevere through the difficulties. You must not let yourself be deterred from your destiny by the obstacles that stand in your way. You need to see the obstacles as challenges. Whatever obstacles that you are facing right now, don't look at it as a barrier. Don't look at it as a deterrent. But look at it as a challenge. Look at it as something that you can see that will help you to be able to accomplish your goal. I was reading a story one time. I forget all the details, but you know they were talking about going to fight Moby Dick, and you know the story, you know, about that and the whale, you know, and how that was a great obstacle that's out there. And somebody commenting on the story said, well, you know, the captain, he didn't see a whale. He saw fish sandwiches. Woo. He didn't see a whale. He saw fish sandwiches. What do you see? When you look at your obstacles, do you see these mountains that are so daunting and so intimidating that you look back and you just stand there with your eyes bugging out and your mouth about ready to drop open, saying that this is impossible? Or do you see the obstacles? Do you see the giants? Do you see the walled cities as opportunities for you to grow stronger and opportunities for you to be able to go up and conquer the land that God has given you? I close this morning with this story. There was a time in our country when communication wasn't what it is today. And they used to do things by Morse code. And so they were looking for a Morse code operator, and they put an advertisement out, and there were many people that came for the job that day. And as they came in, there was a sign that says, take an application and fill it out and wait until you are called. Because it was a teletype situation, there was all kind of noise in the background. So many of them came in, they filled out, and they sat there and waited. One young man came in and waited, filled out his application, and in the midst of everything, got up and went in. And he was in there for about a half hour. And the boss came out and he said that, sorry to let everybody know that the job has been filled. And everybody got upset. They said, well, we didn't even get a chance to interview for the job. And that, you know, we were here and we filed the application. And he said, while everybody was out here waiting, he said, in Morse code, I typed out, if you understand this message, come in right now. The job is yours. And he was the only one that understood. And he came in, and he got the job. I just want to say that God is teletyping messages. He's teletyping your goals and your visions and your dream. But unless you, by faith, step out, and you can understand, and you can hear the voice of God, and you can hear the teletype that God has given, you're going to miss out on what it is that God has for you, and you're going to sit back and say, well, nobody called me. I didn't know that they was interviewing for the job. See, you're waiting for things to happen. You got to understand the times, and you got to know what's happening. The message that I preached last month during Christmas is that some people watch what's happening. Some people make things happen, but other people know what's happening. The wise men, they made things happen. The wise men, they watched things happen. But what was the most important thing about the wise men? They knew what was happening. And so if you are going to be somebody that takes your dreams and your goals and serves God to his glory, then you better know what's happening. And you better know what God has for your life. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain that the Lord has given me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Wasted Time at Haran. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I Want This Mountain, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want This Mountain, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want This Mountain, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060 When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.